Tonight, James dumpster dives, Mike juices a turkey, and John gives a lap dance.
James from
you dick cheese.
How are you doing this day, sir?
I am good. I am good. It's a good day so far. It's still early.
I have not been called a dick cheese since Sunday school.
That is terrible.
It was a horrible priest.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh. So, it is Saturday morning, as per usual, when we're doing these podcasts.
Not per the exception where it's like, we may sound off because it's not the normal. It's like, I just woke up, or Mike just got off work, or it's okay. Sunday, and I should be going to sleep now.
Like, we've done it on a Monday night before, which was just fucking weird.
Yeah, it fucked both of us up. I think our timing was off for that one.
And it used to be, when we first started doing this, it was always in the evening.
Yeah, it was always... So now we record Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. It used to be it was like... what was it? Like, just a night at 7 or something?
Yeah, a night at 7.
Yeah, because I used to have like a rotating schedule, and now my schedule is not so much a rotating schedule.
Well, it used to be, because you'd have to drive out here, either from Ashland City where you were living, or...
When I lived on the land out there, I would drive out on, Friday nights or something, or I don't remember.
I can't remember what day of the week it was. But, yeah. No, it was, hell, it was always murder. You were fucking exhausted almost always, and I had just gotten off of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot better when we've just, we're rejuvenated.
It is. Saturday mornings are the best. They really are.
Oh.
And this, so... Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, fuckers. You got something on your fucking face that's been driving me nuts.
Oh, well.
You got hairball.
Mike is, fondling me over here.
You're damn right I am. You're mine first.
We have all sorts of fun stuff. So, today will be a single topic show. Mike will tell you in a minute.
Because the news is just too damn depressing.
We're playing around, we're going to get rid of the news. We're going to drop it. If you want it back, let us know. If you like a news story read on the air, send it to jamesfromstarpunk.com. Otherwise, we're going to try to focus more on longer form episodes of one topic. Keeping the nutrition punk, that'll have a short segment, and some of the other things, but... The news. Where we read two news stories every episode. Sometimes they would get a little long in the tooth. And
sometimes they just would be like, eh.
Yeah.
They were like Hail Marys.
Yeah, and then finding them took so much time. So I'd rather just talk to you on a subject.
Swimming through the sea of redheads and asses.
Yeah. We're going to do that. Let me know what you think. We'll do that. And so things to talk about. So there's a couple things to talk about in the banter section here.
You mean like scared ass preppers?
Yeah, so we did that last episode. I believe it was last episode that was on barter items for shit hit the fan.
Yes.
And basically I had a lot of people like, never barter with ammo. They'll come back and kill you. And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
What the ever loving hell?
There's some people who are like, don't plant a garden because in shit hit the fan, people will see your garden and come kill you. People are like, don't barter with ammo, people come kill you. Don't barter with food, people will come kill you.
You know what, goddammit, I think people have been watching way too much of the fucking Walking Dead, and that's where they're getting these fucking attitudes. They think this world's going to be full of Negans.
Yeah, come on, people, for fuck's sake, stop being like, I prep to not be afraid. That's why I prep, and I have faith in humanity. And if humanity... turns out to be scum, i.e. someone comes back because they're like, James has 22 long rifle ammo. I'm going to come kill him. It's going to be a bad day for you.
Now, we're not saying to just barter willy-nilly with everybody about everything. I mean, caution and common sense. are, like, highly fucking recommended. I mean, like, if some guy's, like, fucking coming, you know, to you, he's like, yeah, I want this, you know, I got one of these, I'll give you this for all your fucking bullets, you know, and he's got blood dripping down him and fucking just completely shaky and, you know, he just shot somebody in your driveway, then yeah, I wouldn't recommend bartering with bullets with him.
Yeah.
But just closing the door to that to everybody is stupid.
Yeah, the, much like now, in a collapse, you should have the right to refuse service to anybody.
Yep.
If in the shit hit the fan, you don't want to trade flour for gay people, then you don't have to. Unlike now, where you have to make gay people a cake if they come into your store and demand a cake,
if I knew you,
which is dumb.
Gay to cake.
Yeah, so in the shit hit the fan, there is no court-appointed judicial system to tell you you have to barter.
Remember, there is no I in gay people.
Not that we hate gay people at the Sarah Punk podcast, but...
Far from it.
I feel that a business should have the right to refuse service to anybody. If I had a store and Mike came in and was like, I would like one of your widgets, James, and I'm like, sorry, I don't serve Mike's. Get the fuck out. That's my right. I should literally be able to have a sign, no mics in my store.
And you know what? I would not want to patronize a store like that.
Exactly.
So I would just take my business elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I would not.
The free market would take care of that. Like, yeah, you might get some fucking mic bigots in there that are like, I hate mics too. Every mic is a fucking douchebag. Let me buy your widgets.
And then you'd also have the assholes on the other like, Mic Lives Matter.
Exactly. Mike Lives Matter. yeah. And on a more serious note, last week, I had a hater. This was the best!
Oh my god.
You can't even see it no more. I wish I had taken more screenshots. I took a few screenshots, one or two, but I wish I had screenshotted everything. So while I was trying to share a post that was made on Survival Punk, the Facebook fan page, to my personal page, and I couldn't do it in the Facebook Pages app on my phone because it was like you are Survival Punk. If you share it, you can only share it to Survival Punk because that's who you are. Whatever. So I was trying to go into the Facebook app, look for Survival Punk, the page, and share from there because that would work that way.
And what did you discover, Monfrey?
So I typed in Survival Punk, and the results were like, Survival Punk, the fan page. Survival Punk's the group. Down with Survival Punk. And it was my logo with, like, X marks scratched in it. And I was like, yeah. Well, of course I need to go look at this. What is this?
It was straight up the Survival Punk logo, big red X across it.
Yeah, like, the worst, like, not Photoshop, like, Microsoft Paint. Like, MS Paint, red scribbles through it, and a big X. And it was like, I am here to call for the downfall of James Sick One, S-I-C-K, One, not S-I-C-O-N-E, the downfall of James Sick One, Burnett, and his crony, Mike, Couch Potato Mike, blah, blah, blah. Like, he was, like, basically wanting to, like, the end of Survival Punk. Like,
yeah, he was wanting to shut us down.
Yeah, at one point in a comment, because I saw this, I laughed my ass off, I shared it on the Survival Punk's group and the Survival Punk page, because I was laughing my ass off. And a couple of the punks, thank you. Thank you for A, coming to my defense.
We got people
for
out there.
Raising this son of a bitch. It was fun. It was fun. And, you know, I was laughing. Like, he was insulting me
Hold
and
on,
Cocktail Mike pretty hard.
I'm going to see if I can't pull it up on here. Hold on one second.
Everything's gone. Everything's gone. Like, all the fun comments. The apologies on there. But yeah, at one point he called for Mike and I to commit ritualistic suicide.
He really did.
Like, not joking, like, you two need to commit ritualistic suicide because you are the scum of the earth and you only perpetrate bad information and take it from the good survival experts. So as a disclaimer, I do not believe ever on this show I have said that I am a survival expert. Air quotes around it. But I fucking love survival. I wake up in the morning and I think about survival. I think about different ways to make traps and snares and guns and weapons and how to store more food and how to grow more food and how to survive in any sort of situation, survival situation, collapse, shit hit the fan. Now, I have built my life to survive for now really well. So, am I an expert? No. Am I learning, living, and teaching? Yes. And if that's not good enough for you, go fuck yourself. So, yeah.
Oh, but
it was all fun and games until he started attacking.
Before,
go ahead.
Before we get into that, you're forgetting one very important thing. One very important comment that he made that is, I just checked, is no longer available on there.
He said that
it was basically that he needed to protect the world from our ilk and our potty cast.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So there was a lot of good comments in there.
He called it a blog and potty cast.
At one point, so I was like,
your podcaster.
I was going to make fun of him for being like a sissy millennial safety pin bitch and was like, he just needs a safe space, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, there is no safe spaces with y'all around. So between that and potty cast, I started thinking like, either this is like a retard, a 14-year-old kid, or like the biggest uber Christian who cuss words completely like make you break down and cry because they offend you. There's just some really weird things he said. Turned out, so yeah, and then at one point he did start insulting both my girlfriend Serenity and Mike's wife, producer Mike's wife, which is when the gloves came off. I was like, okay, fine. You can tell me and Mike to commit suicide. I'm not offended. I don't care. I'm just going to laugh about that. But you bring in friends, you bring in loved ones, and he said something about Matt French, and I was like, I'm going to punch this guy in the cock for that. Fuck that dude. At that point, the gloves came off, and I was just kind of pissed.
Yeah. No, but because of that whole there are no safe spaces with us around, was it Matt that started making those?
Matt started making the memes and the pictures, which are really good. I've shared a bunch of them.
Yeah, the survivalpunk.com. There's pictures of me and James. There's no safe place with us around.
Yeah.
Which is just fucking priceless. But listen
to
this.
Are you going to read his apology?
Yeah, this is his.
Read my comment. Is that the one with my comment on it?
Yes. Let me see. Okay, here it is. This is a public apology for some of what I have said. I should not have brought people's wives and girlfriends into all this. My father was a Marine and would not have been happy about my actions. I will not be posting on this page any longer. My mom thinks it's not a good idea. I cannot like something and keep my mouth shut, which is what I am now going to do. I'm sorry, Mr. Burnett and Mr. Geisy.
Yep. Very nice. I respond. Okay, so for that.
Somebody commented, LR Koloslav, like, oh, mommy caught him playing on Facebook again.
Yeah. So it turns out he is a 14-year-old kid, and that we caused him to have wrath for us. I don't really know why.
I'm trying to find your fucking apology. I mean, not your.
I just said that, you know, it's. You know what?
Despite the fact that you hate us, it is like, it's a wonderful thing that you discovered
survival
and prepping, you know, so young, and that if he stays at it and, you know, gets rid of the negativity, I mean, he could be even
the greatest survival expert known to man.
Yeah.
If you stop fucking around and wasting time with negativity.
I mean, because this kid's like, okay, allegedly this is a 14-year-old kid. And if that is fucking true, that this kid is 14, then, yeah, that's very young to get into prepping.
Yeah. I mean, I see, you know what? And if you are or you know a young prepper that's, like, just killing it, I would love to have them on the podcast.
Fuck yes.
Even not cuss for that episode.
I mean, this kid did say that his father was a Marine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that may have been what started it all.
Could be, yeah. So, you know, badass for you for getting into survival at your age and not watching YouTube people play Minecraft. That's awesome.
And I actually hope you keep listening to our podcast.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not for you, you know, if it's not for you, then, you know, please move on. Okay, I've never aimed this show at a children audience. This is an adult show.
God, no. Every episode's marked explicit.
Every one or two was marked explicit. And that's just because it's not a children's show. It is a very adult-themed show.
Yeah.
And I really don't want people listening to the show, like, that don't like cussing.
No.
You're not my fan.
We will offend you.
It's just not going to work.
And guess what? We don't care if we offend you or not.
Some people are not a fan of foul language, quotes. They do enjoy the show because we bring enough value, entertainment, and education. So contrary to what you said. So for them, they can overlook the F-bombs in lieu of, you know, learning and being entertained. So I do, yeah, even if we don't cuss, sometimes I'll mark the episodes explicit because we usually always will cuss, though. But if we don't, I'll usually mark them explicit just because I don't want, like, your 90-year-old blue-haired granny, you know, that's on the church committee listening to it and being like, oh, that's bad language. I don't like that at all.
Oh, Ethel, did you hear this? I was listening to the show, and they were talking about stuff and prepping, and all of a sudden, busty Asian beauties.
Although there is an older guy, way older than me, and his wife listened to the show. Sorry, I can't remember your name at the moment. I've talked to you in email months and months ago.
Was it Guy Kane?
No. So they actually are much older, you know, because badass old school punks and whatnot.
Sweet.
So yeah, it's not for everybody, but for those of you that do enjoy this show,
we
fucking love you.
We actually have people listening to the show that are that much older.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's, you know, basically every once in a while, like, sort of off script, I'll look into the demographics, and our basic demographic is like, it's like 30 to 45 years old. That's like 30 to 45 year old male is our main demographic. Something beeped. I don't know what that was.
Well, we are in that demographic.
So. We are, yeah. So I aim towards us, and that's what we get. We're 15 minutes in. Let's get to the damn show. What's coming up for today?
Well, coming up on the show today, we are going to be answering a question for one of our big fans, Matt, all about scavenging. I am going to be giving you my recipe of how to make the couch potato turkey for your Thanksgiving feast. And we are going to be reviewing the Olight H1 Nova. And if we have time, I might gripe about something later.
Yeah. And,
you left the S out of dumpster. That's dumpter.
I don't. It's just a quick draft.
I didn't know if you actually posted that onto the thing.
I spell check and everything when I post it.
Oh, okay, cool.
So
let's move right into this.
So yeah.
Do you have Matt's question?
Matt, I don't. It was via text messenger. You know what? I could bring it up real quick.
Good God, Matt. Fucking call the number.
Matt has some numbers from things that we need to actually answer, but...
you know what? I'm going to gripe right now. People... I know you've got questions. I know you want to hear us talk about shit. Call the number. That way your voice can make it onto our damn show.
And if you want that number, by the way, it is area code 615-657-9104. 615-657-9104. And if you are outside the country, I'm going to set up something where you can like record it and like email it to me or something. For God's sake, if you are outside the country and you call and leave a voicemail and have to pay that money, you are badass. And I think I'm going to start doing something. If you call and leave a voicemail and you're not Matt French, because Matt French has left us 100 voicemails. Sorry, Matt. If you call and leave a voicemail and you're not Matt French, email me after you leave that voicemail. Email me, jamesrobpunk.com, with your shipping address and information, and I will mail you out one of the brand new Survival Punk stickers. So leave a voicemail, get a sticker. Or if you just want to buy a sticker, it's $1. So email me and I'll get that set up to you. Matt. Let's see. Screw it. Matt asked about scavenging. It was taking too long to load, and I basically remember it, and I don't want to waste any more of the time. So Matt asked about how do you go about learning, practicing, and getting skills for scavenging, both now and to prepare for the shit hit the fan, and how to do it in the shit hit the fan? You know, like, how do you develop those skills to scavenge things? And I had a lot of things popped in my mind, and I'm like, well, I could give you an answer, or I really think that I can do an entire podcast on it. Like, I think, and for God's sake, this might run long, so, yeah, I think... We have to trinicate stuff or make stuff at the end really quick and easy. But
trinicate,
yeah, chop them off.
Yeah,
truncheon. Yeah. So basically, like, how do you get better at scavenging? You scavenge. So we're going to talk about, and I've done. I think Mike and I both have actually done quite a bit of scavenging over the years.
Oh God, yeah.
Just because we're basically, it's a byproduct of being a cheap bastard.
Yep,
it really is. And. I don't know about Mike, but I tend to see things differently.
Mm-hmm.
When I see things, I'm like, what else could I make that out of? What would that, like, I see shapes and I'm like, I could use it for this, 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 and this. Like, it's the DIY sort of mindset that I have.
Yeah.
Where I'm always like, what else can I use this for? And if I see things that are cool, I'm like, I don't know exactly, but I think that can be useful in the future. So I'll pack rat it and keep it around. One of the things that I've done, and correct me if I'm wrong after I get started. I think me and Mike have done this together before, but dumpster diving. You can get a lot of good stuff. You can scavenge a lot of good items by dumpster diving.
Oh, God, yeah. Not every dumpster.
As a quick, funny story, I remember one time I saw a dumpster, and the dumpster looked good, and it was sort of crying like, James, dumpster dive in me. I probably have cool stuff. Maybe. And I knew where the building was at. Like, I saw it, and I looked at it, and I'm like, as soon as that popped in my head, I'm like, no, James, that would be the worst. Because the dumpster belonged to the Ashland City taxidermy place.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, I'm like, yeah. No, Jake Sully. Rotten organs and, like, meat parts and, like. So, yeah, the location of your dumpster does matter. Dumpster diving, well, actually, to be honest, maybe you could have found, like, some interesting, like, bones for craft projects or, like, elk antlers or not elk antlers in Tennessee. God damn it, James. Deer antler. Something like that, maybe. Yeah. But probably you'd be digging through gore.
Oh, God, yeah.
Or just gross stuff. Yeah, I'm not really, yeah. So don't dumpster dive in that. I have, so what were some of the good places? Like, I dumpster dived one time in a large nutritional supplement chain store. Since dumpster diving is illegal in your area, check the things. Don't be a dick. Well, we'll talk about some etiquette for it. I don't want to mention specific names sometimes, but in that dumpster, which was sort of used by a few of the, like, it was in a strip mall. It was used by a few of the places. I found some, a bag full of dumped out pills, basically. Supplements, vitamins, and stuff. Because when things were returned, they're required to just dump them out and throw them away.
Yep.
So you can find some pretty decent, I bet a pharmacy. No, because unfortunately, and this kind of pisses me off, a lot of places like nursing homes, pharmacies, and whatnot, especially nursing homes, which is really dirty,
nursing homes,
they'll flush them.
Yeah, they'll flush them.
And destroy our water streams.
And as far as pharmacies goes, I can speak from personal knowledge on this. Pharmacies, if they're actually following the rules, will not throw medication into the dumpster. Basically, what happens with, like, expired stuff, prescription stuff that sits on the shelves too long, it just goes back to the pharmaceutical company. There's places that come and pick that stuff back up and exchange it for new stuff.
Where they mail it right back out.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's good. I'd be willing to bet not every place follows the rules.
No, but, not every place. I mean, but you might be able to find a lot of over-the-counter stuff, because some of that will get thrown away.
Yeah. I mean, not necessarily that I recommend dumpster diving at pharmacies. I just don't see a big payoff. You'll probably get mostly like paperwork and junk.
Yeah, definitely.
Not even anything worth
it. Not even real paperwork, because if they're following
rules. Be shredded,
rules,
yeah, for HIPAA violations.
Like, if the pharmacy where I work, you dive into our dumpster, you're just going to find a bunch of cardboard.
Yeah. What do they do with the shredded paper? Do they follow the burn protocol calls or what?
No, we have shredded people that come out and collect our shredded boxes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then they shred it in the back of their mobile trucks.
Interesting. Another good place I found was, I believe it was like a Goodwill. Not to name names, but like I think I found some like clothing items and stuff.
Yeah, a place like that would have good stuff.
Yeah, places like that you can find... let's see, places that deliver mails and stuff sometimes will throw away magazines and stuff. So, like we said, this is legality can vary. And as a rule of thumb, if you are going to dumpster dive, some of the dumpster diving rules are always leave it in better shape than you found it. So if you throw shit out on the floor, you're wrong. Like not the floor, the ground. You want it to look better. Like if there's trash around it when you get there, pick it up.
Yeah.
Pick it up, throw it. That way, if you get caught, like, sometimes people will be like, oh, hey, get out of here, instead of calling the cops on you. And if they catch you picking up trash, no one ever is going to be like, get the fuck out of here, stop picking up trash. They're going to be like, oh, well, thanks for that. I appreciate that, buddy. Hell, you might get a job or something. I'll always leave it better. Stuff on the bottom is usually not the best. Stuff on the top. Probably is some of the stuff is good. I remember I remember watching American Ninja Warrior, and there's a guy that was a high-level competitor that only ate from scavenged food. So that's another thing that I didn't really talk about, but he went to, like, high-quality places like Whole Foods, dumpster dove, would get, like, stuff that was, like, as close to the top as being, like, thrown away as possible, like, you know, and everything he gave the sniff test, and this dude was a high-level competitor on American Ninja Warrior, so very athletic, fit guy, and he didn't pay for any of his food.
Oh, yeah, and for stuff like this, I would recommend, and I don't think it's even on Netflix anymore, but there was this show called America's Biggest Cheapskates.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Those motherfuckers were like next-level dumpster divers on that show. I mean, there was this one Asian woman living in New York. Every single thing she owned and ate came out of a dumpster.
Yeah. In America, we throw away a lot of shit. And
we really do.
You can get a lot of good items. I found a bundle, like a unopened bundle of blank DVDs. I still have those, and they worked. So office supply stores will throw away stuff like that a lot. A lot of your bigger box stores will have compactors, and you won't be able to get into them, and you won't be able to get anything good. You want to find places that have a trash compactor. Sometimes a lot of your smaller places would be the best bet. Your small local stores and whatnot. And you're probably, like, you could probably, if you get caught, talk your way out of that easier than a big box store that, you know, has to follow protocols that are dumb from corporate.
Mm-hmm.
So, dumpster diving. Look into it. There's a lot of resources on the internet for dumpster diving. I grew up poor in, like, East Nashville, and it's just something we did. Like, we just went dumpster diving for shit, and then, you know, you find cool stuff.
Yeah.
So, dumpster diving. Check into it. Start doing it, Matt. Roadside.
Oh, and I actually have some recent experience with the roadside stuff.
Go ahead.
Now, basically, when we say roadside, is basically stuff abandoned or dropped or lost by the side of the road. It can't be more clearly explained than that.
Right.
Now, recently, I've begun doing a lot of walking on my lunch breaks at work through several neighborhoods, and I have actually... And I will find stuff that is either just interesting or possibly even useful, and I just pick it up and take it with me. Like, I found five things so far in the month and a half that I've been doing this. Let's see. I did find a golf ball, which, depending on what you do with it, can be relatively useful. I mean, some of those are, if you peel out the outer coating, some of them are, like, full of fucking rubber bands. Some of them are made of plaster, though.
Yeah.
Some of them have that liquid center. But, I mean, hell, rubber bands can be used for cordage. I found a broken golf tee. That was just interesting. It was a wooden golf tee.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could possibly be used for something. I found a brand new key, a copy key that somebody had made that still had the paper on the back of it.
Oh.
I mean, shiny metal can always be good for something, especially if it's got a jagged edge on it. It can be ripped through shit.
Yeah.
And then the two very useful items. Okay, one is semi-useful, and the other one I consider very useful. I found where somebody had thrown out, you know those solar-powered yard lights, like walkway lights?
Yeah.
Well, the top had, like the glass part had been broken off of it, so it was just discarded on the side of the road.
Yeah.
But the solar power and the LED light in it still worked. So I've now got a lower-powered flashlight that I can use in my car.
Well, there you go.
And... I found a fucking pocket knife, a two-blade pocket knife. It's been out in the elements for a while. It's a little rusty, but a little bit cleaning it up, and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like hardcore rust. I mean, it looks like you could spray
surface
it with...
Surface level?
Yeah, just surface level.
Yeah.
It's actually still in my car. I'll show you after the show.
Oh, nice.
And as anybody in the prepper or survival community knows, knives are always a good thing to have.
Yeah, you cannot have enough.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're walking anywhere, just to keep an eye on the ground.
Yeah, I mean... Both while driving and while, you know, moving around. Like, I've had friends that have gotten, like, pallets off the side of the road. One guy I saw on the internet, he found a painting laying on the side of the road, picked it up, did some, like, painting on it, basically. He drew, like, it was a painting of, like, some cliffs and an ocean wave and stuff. And he drew Cthulhu rising up out of it and then sold it on eBay for, like, $20 or something.
That's awesome. Well, I could tell you another time on this side of the road. I used to be a delivery driver for a medical equipment company. Not the one I'm working for now. Different one. Might have been the one I was... No, it was the one I was working for now. We don't do medical equipment company anymore. But getting to the point, no, and when I was delivering at this one place or picking up equipment from this one place, I realized that the next door neighbors had some stuff, three almost identical items, out that were just ready to be tossed away. They didn't care about them, and so I grabbed them, and I brought them back with me. I gave them to my best friend, and we are currently sitting at two of them.
Oh, yeah. These chairs.
Yeah. No, not... Oh, actually, yeah. I scavenged the chairs, too. Matter of fact, I scavenged damn near this whole set. I was talking about this.
Oh, yeah. So, Mike brought home some wooden spools, and I made a table out of it. Like, I stained it and, like, polyurethaned it and covered it in fake leather and stuff. Yeah.
And we're actually sitting in chairs that I scavenged from a different place.
Yeah.
They were just out by a... Well... This is kind of roadside, almost dumpster diving. They were by a dumpster.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, no. These might have been in a dumpster.
Your work threw them out, didn't they?
No, it was a different place in the office park where my work used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Had thrown a bunch of chairs out, and I grabbed, like, the two of the best-looking ones.
Yeah. Hell, yeah. Keep your eyes open. And with people doing, like, these curb alert things where, like, they're moving or they're just getting rid of shit, they'll put it out on the curb and then post on, like, the internet places and... You could A, check them, or B, if you see a curb alert like out there, just like grab the stuff. You know, they'll put out like things that are sort of too big to be thrown away or stuff that's still decent, you know.
Like old couches and
recliners. Like old couches and stuff, yeah. And then some other like smaller stuff.
Now, if you are getting rid of large things like that and, you know, it doesn't matter to you, if you don't care, just put a sign on it. That way people won't be so skittish about it.
Yeah.
I mean, like I have seen couches and tables and stuff.
Free take.
Yeah, free. Free to a good home. Please take care of my baby.
Yeah. I'm going to scoot these around. We're going to go to... So another good resource for scavenging is using the internet for your aid. We're skipping that. We're going to move down. Yeah. Oh, well,
you have it in there twice.
Yeah. So Craigslist, FreeCycle, and then some Facebook groups. A lot of these will put like Craigslist and FreeCycle, especially FreeCycle. If you can find one in your city that's still being maintained, they'll or a nearby city anyway. Basically, people are like, hey, I have this thing. I'm giving it away. Do you want it? And then like they'll post it, and then you contact them. You go get it. Same thing as Craigslist. Craigslist is a bit a little easier. It's in more cities. But it'll have a free section. So you can go look on these places, you know, sign up, or just on Craigslist, just go there. And then... check the free thing. I've been bad about it. I've found free stuff on it before. Like, you always find boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. But every once in a while on the free list, like, you'll find something really great. Or you can post in the free sections on these, you know, and find some really good stuff there, too.
Where is the free section?
It is. So I'm actually pulling up Craigslist for Nashville right now.
Oh, free.
And the free section. And I'm just going to like...
It's under the heading of for sale.
Sale for free.
Oh, let's see. Free toilet and tank. Wow.
Yeah. Free. Looks like boxes and building. Looks like, I don't know, stuff there.
Free antique dresser.
Harley Davidson motorcycle oil catcher.
A free table and desk, full-size mattress, no box springs, couch. Yeah.
Firewood, free liquor bottles, magazines. A lot of times you'll find magazines, which could be useful for fire starters.
Damn, I didn't even know that you could do this.
Free couch, Cheerios, Fiber One, food. Literally, we could scavenge for food on here. Volunteers, boo.
Free 32-inch TV.
Probably the old ones. Free tires.
I wish the fucking picture would come up on that, because I'm trying to get a new TV.
November 18th, that's yesterday, so...
Do not contact me with unsolicited service.
There's no picture on this one, I guess. There's no
fucking
picture.
It says condition. Excellent. Is it a flat screen? God damn it.
I doubt it.
Do they have phone numbers?
Yeah, there's a way to contact them. Free scrap metal in Ashland City. There's a grill, a burn barrel, looks like an Ababer 2000 in there.
Yeah.
We'll pick
up your bagged leaves.
Yeah, that's gay. Boxes, yard sale leftovers. So yeah, people are like, don't want to pack up their yard sale. So they're like, come take it. Free wood.
Woods.
Free chickens. I bet they're males.
There was a free...
Look, got about 25 chickens that have to go. Moving soon and can't take them with me. Calls only, Randy.
Call Randy. We need chickens.
Free keyboard, free computer, monitor, keyboard.
Free 40-by-18-foot above ground doughboy pool.
Interesting.
A free swimming pool?
Free dryer. Free bunny. Free pallets. 55-inch HD TV. The old style.
Yeah, that is the old style.
Curb alert of, well, it looks like dressers and shelves. Another pool.
That's another free swimming pool. Yeah, just...
A Nissan forklift parts. CRT monitor.
There was a full fucking computer and tower and everything up there. See right there.
Free computer, monitor, keyboard. It is. Needs a mouse, cables, and monitor. Got it while moving around. Very nice. Blah, blah, keyboard. Hard drive is making a click beep sound. It's supposed to. Powers up as far as I'm willing to mess with it.
Okay.
In Riddleton. I don't know where Riddleton is at.
No.
Yeah, whatever.
But yeah, I mean, just this is just a nice sampling.
Yeah, I was just scrolling through to see what they had.
That people just don't want and just want gone.
And that's, so this
ooh, that I kind of like that couch.
Yeah, it's a reclining one, too.
I know.
If we only had a truck. Free U.S. Army water bottle. Good for survival.
Huh.
Free wood. So, yeah, I think we've made our point. Go to Craigslist. Go to your nearest big city. For us, that would be Nashville.
Is that Craigslist? Nashville.craigslist.org.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm going to have to fucking do that.
Free natural mulch, by the way.
See, and and we are demonstrating my purpose on this fucking show. The people that are not in the know.
Yeah, I mean, I've used this on occasion, and I kind of forget to look all the time. But, you know, if you're going to be off that day, you might as well look and see what's new for that day. A lot of these things don't last that long, because obviously they're free. And some of the stuff is curb alert, so they're like, hey, I put this shit on my curb, come get it. Piles of bricks.
Piles of bricks.
I know. There's a refrigerator.
Bricks are always useful.
I know. I kind of need a few right now, actually. Works well, not needed. There's a fucking free fridge. There was a free dryer in that list. So, Craigslist, check the free section.
Damn it, I don't have anything that a fridge will fit in.
No, you lay down your seats and shove it in the back and then pin down your door.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because I need a new fridge.
I actually one time carried a, I think either a washer or a dryer in the back hatch of my car, like with the door like tied down. Yeah, it was big. You can fit a lot of shit in my little hatchback. So yeah, Matt, if you want to learn scavenging, if anyone wants to learn scavenging, now while the grid is still up, Craigslist and FreeCycle and all these other places that offer free stuff. People are just giving stuff away instead of going to the trash pile, and you can score some really nice stuff. I mean, think about it. If you have if you had the time and stuff in the homestead for those 25 chickens, like, and you resold them, or if they're female chickens and you got eggs from them, like, yeah. How much, what would be your ROI, your profit that you would get off of getting 25 free chickens that were already of egg-laying, you know, age?
I mean, shit. It's literally the cost of the fucking gas to go get them.
Yeah, and to transport them back, yeah. And then you have to have some place to put them, or you can just be super ghetto and just fucking let them free roam your land.
I mean, do you realize that with the stuff that we just saw on this, like, if someone was very motivated, say you're a new guy, you just got out of college or whatever, or you just fucking moved out of your parents' house for the first time, you got an apartment that's empty and you have no money, I mean, hell, you could go get a fucking free fridge, free couch, free love seat, free fucking computer, free washing machine.
TV.
Hell yeah. I mean, they had everything. I mean, there was a free mattress in there.
Yeah.
I mean, if one was so inclined, one could completely furnish their home with nothing but free shit.
On the flip side of that, there are also people who make their entire income getting free shit and cheap shit off of Craigslist and reselling it.
Fix it up and flip it.
Sometimes you don't even have to fix it. Sometimes you just get the stuff for free and then eBay it. Because you think, this is very localized. Some of this stuff, you know, obviously you're not going to like eBay or a fridge, really. But you could, because...
You technically could. I mean,
more people
eBay
look
cars
on eBay And eBay is sort of eBay has better SEO where you can search for stuff and it'll pop up eBay results. Whereas, like, if you search for stuff, you really won't find Craigslist results.
No.
So if you did that, you could sell, like, and you could do things on eBay that are like local pickup only. So you get something for free and then market to a larger audience, even in your same area, and you can sell it.
Fuck yes.
So yeah, people make an income just from Craigslist and eBay. And I mean a good one, not like minimum wage. Like they're making good money.
I mean, think about it. When your overhead is zero,
yeah, travel. Oh, hold on.
It's virtually all profit.
You're a business, so your travel, like expenses of driving around, is a business expense,
and it's all tax deductible.
Yeah. So yeah, and then we did mention there are Facebook groups that you can often find cheap or free stuff in.
I don't know why I never even thought to look to see if Craigslist had a free section.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not even the only one. Like I am on a site called FreeCycle and national.freecycle.org, I think.
Is it like the same thing?
Pretty much. It's just all free stuff. People are like people either like giving away stuff or asking free stuff or asking for free stuff, and people are like, "Oh, I got one of those. Here you go, buddy."
Yeah, I am definitely going to have to start fucking doing that.
And then for the one that I would try to skip earlier, the woods. If you're in a place that has any wooded areas around you, you will have probably noticed people throw trash out there.
Oh,
I fucking hate it, and it gets on my nerves.
You can't go to a single corner of this planet without finding garbage somewhere.
Yeah, any like walking parks, like if you walk off the trail in like any sort of walking trail, you'll find debris of some sort, you know. Yeah. Like even if it's like useful things like railroad tracks and spikes and pieces and, you know, a lot of useful gears, used panties. I've seen that while hiking so many times. People are like, I just want to get it on, take your panties off. While I don't recommend getting panties from the woods, you can find them. Bricks and bottles, you know, old glass bottles with the thick glass that you can use for like flint napping, you'll find those. Or once again, you can find old shit in the woods to either remake stuff or sell on eBay to have money. You know, if you clean up those old glass bottles, there are collectors that love them. So,
oh god, yeah. We've actually found some good glass bottles out on my property.
Yeah,
because I have a lot of woods on my property too.
And the bumper we found buried in your backyard.
It was like fucking 2 inches of silver poking up, and we just spent like an hour digging that son of a bitch up.
Because we were thinking maybe, so
there was a whole truck down there?
Old school, for some of you guys that might remember this, there used to be a show on Nickelodeon when Mike and I were children called The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Yep. Pete's brother, Pete.
Yeah, and their old friend that was a superhero that was just some weird guy with a weird guy that thought he was a superhero. I don't really know what's going on there. They went to the beach one time in an episode. And they, like, stubbed their toe or something. And they're, like, they ended up digging up an entire buried car on the beach. No, they were metal searching. Yeah. Metal finder.
Metal detector.
Metal detectoring, yeah. They were metal detecting the beach and ended up finding a whole car. Yeah, it was a TV show. But, and I'm sure there's an urban myth saying that you can do that. But there may actually be a car on the beach. There's no telling what you'll find. I really actually want to get a metal detector. Because there's no telling what I'll find around here.
You know, with one of the oldest and most repeated metal detector jokes I've ever seen on TV has been,
huh?
People finding buried metal detectors with metal detectors.
Yeah,
I've seen that on so many shows.
Yeah, I want to find gold doubloons.
I recently saw it on Family Guy, and I think he pointed the two metal detectors at each other and blew the world up.
Ugh, ridiculous. So yeah. Matt, I'm sure around you have woods. Everyone has some woods somewhere around them. Just look a little off the trail. See what you can find out there. Use tires and stuff. Oh, my God. Car parts everywhere. Fucking no telling what you'll find out there. And a lot of the stuff, you can have repurposing uses. Not to mention even, like, wild edibles. We're not even going down that path. Like, there's a couple times I've been hiking, like, off the trail, and I've seen, like, you know, raspberries or different kind of berries. And I've sure enough
wild blackberries or something on your mom's property one time?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, blackberries, raspberries, so whatever. I mean, we're not even talking about – that's a whole different, like, show there, scavenging for wild edibles.
Or if you know what you're looking for, morels, mushrooms, people love these damn things.
Yeah, I'm iffy on mushrooms, but, you know.
Morels are pretty recognizable, though.
Yeah.
They're a kind of a unique-looking mushroom.
Except for false morels that look like them.
Yeah, you got a point there.
Yeah.
That's why I said people that know what they're looking
for. Yeah, definitely know what you're doing in that case. With any wild edible.
And always
know for sure.
And always remember the steps to check to see if something's poisonous or not.
Yes. Make Mike eat it first.
Mikey, I don't like that.
I don't like it. Scrap yards. So it's not quite scavenging, but it's kind of scavenging. Scavenging, you know, in scrapyard, I'm talking about like a metal scrapyard, where people will sell scrap metal for ridiculous prices, and you can find some really good deals per pound there, because it doesn't matter. Everything you buy there will be for scrap metal prices.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone that I've been to, like, you basically drive your car in a giant car weight, like you would for, like, if you're a truck, a long road trucker. They weigh your car, you load it up with the shit you want, you drive back on it, you pay per pound the difference.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what it is, they just sell it per pound.
Yeah, I've seen grills, bicycles, pots, pans. I bought an I-beam there. It was a 100-pound I-beam. I paid $30 for it.
Now, if you want to get it for even cheaper, I recommend filling your car full of helium.
I was like, load it full of bricks or something. No, don't cheat them over, because a lot of times they're good people. But
load it full of fucking bricks that you don't want and leave them there. Like, wait, sorry, you came out 3 pounds lighter than when you went in. I guess we owe you money.
I took a poop. Yeah.
Speaking of 3 pounds lighter, I'm now under 270. I weighed myself this morning. I'm 269. A little off topic, but I'm just proud of that.
Moot. So, yeah, that's for now. Those are a couple of things to get you started now, Matt.
Speaking of scrap, if you're not looking for scrap metal, but if you're looking for scrap wood, places like Lowe's and Home Depot. Because a lot of times you go in there and you've got to buy like a big piece of plywood or something, a big piece of sheet wood. But you don't need the whole thing, and they will cut it for you for free. They will cut it to whatever size you need. And the parts that you just leave there and don't want, they will wind up making bundles of and selling them for insanely reduced prices. Usually they're on the side of the buildings.
I have not ever looked over there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just scrap wood, and they'll just sell it really cheap.
I'm going to have to look for that. I know, and I've not used this technique, but I've heard about it, and you might need to use it. If you check for a local wood mill, and have passed by several, they'll sell like the less quality wood for a super cheap price, and like the outside cuts, you know, like when you cut off the bark and stuff,
uh-huh,
that's like ridiculously cheap. It still has like bark pieces left on it,
and it's still very, very useful. I mean, if for nothing else, you have firewood.
Yeah, or I mean, there's a lot of cool tables and stuff you can build out of like the rough edge pieces.
Oh my god, I mean, I've literally seen people selling these just furniture made completely out of just gnarly looking wood that looks like it wouldn't be useful for anything for hundreds of fucking dollars.
Yeah.
I've seen people selling polished fucking driftwood.
Yeah, exactly.
That's useful for nothing other than looking at, for hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, so basically you need to start scavenging now to be your full-time career.
Yeah.
This will soon be the Survival Punk Scavenging Show. We've got this for sale this week. Please buy it on our scavenge site.
Now, there's some tips down here that you noted.
Yeah, so in the shit hit the fan, things change a little bit. I probably won't go very long on this because a lot of the things that I've told you already, they work and you can do them easier. A scrapyard probably won't be manned anymore, so just go walk through the gate and grab the stuff you need. Nope. I got a couple ground rules I want to talk about, though. Ground rules, not so much places for the shit hit the fan. Mike, would you like to take number one there?
Don't be a dick.
Yes, don't be a fucking dick. And by that, I mean, and I'm sure I'm sure everyone listening to my show, you are a dick, but you're not a dick, okay? You're not a dick. Except for you, LR, you're a dick. No. Yeah. No, by that, I mean, don't be that jackass lone wolf survivalist. It's like, in the shit of the fans, I'm going to load up my AK and come shoot your punk ass for your food because I'm too broke and stupid to stock it up now. Don't be a dick, because you'll get killed. You'll get killed being a fucking dick.
And even worse, if you're a dick in Oklahoma, there's a chance, I mean, that you could be eaten by Matt and his wife.
Ha! He only likes gummy ones.
He eats dicks by the bagful.
Oh, I got so much. Well, anyway. I got so much mail to send out. I got I got stickers and stuff I need to send out in books.
Oh, yeah, the Survival Punk stickers.
Yeah, which I briefly talked about. But yeah, so don't be a dick. If your plan is to not store any food right now, this, if you're listening to the show and you're a survivalist or a prepper and you're like, well, I'm not going to store any food. I'm going to load up on my guns and get all the guns and all the ammo possible. And shit, it's fan.
You're a dumbass.
I'm
going
to go mug and rob people. I would like you to do me a personal favor. Stop listening to this episode right now. Delete it from whatever feed you're using. And go fuck yourself.
Yep.
You're the worst kind of prepper ever, and I know that you exist. I know that there are preppers who literally do think that. And I don't even want to use the term prepper, because you're not preparing.
No, they're
you're
just
unpreparing.
Yeah, they really fucking are. Like, all the true preppers that I know, take fucking pages out of, like, say, I don't know, the Mormons books, who have massive, massive fucking, like, prepping pantries and shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if you're still here...
food is essential, you know?
Yes. So,
it is the fuel that makes the machine that we call humanity work.
It really is. The next tip I have is Walmart is death trap. And by Walmart, I do mean every single big box store. We've talked about this on an episode that has been described by some as their favorite episode, which is... bugging out to Walmart and shit to fans is stupid because
some people think so. That's their favorite episode.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, listener Ryan, she loves that episode. It was a fun, good episode, and it has a lot of good valid points. I'll link to it in the show notes to this at survivalpunk.com. That every really unprepared person, that's their plan. The shit hits fan. I'm gonna go to Walmart and rob them.
You know, Walmart doesn't have as much as you fucking think it is. Think it does.
I mean, yeah, if by some... It's still, okay, so if it was like The Stand or something and like, boom, overnight, 99% of the population is dead and there's no one around you for like 100 miles or something. You're the only person left in your entire town and you can claim that entire Walmart all to yourself without any opposition from like the Negans of the world.
That is great.
That is great. And like we said in the episode, you're going to want to get in there quick. You're going to want to get the stuff you need and get out before all of the fresh food and meat starts rotting and then causing a basically biological death zone.
Just keep in mind this, that humans, I mean, yes, we all have our own opinions, our own beliefs, but we also have a lot of common ideas. By the time that you think, hey, it might be a great idea for me to run to Walmart, you're not the first person to think that. You're probably not even the 1,000th person to think that.
Yeah, and chances are the first few people will probably encounter Walmart staff because I'm sure corporate office told management to stay there.
No, yeah. We're open 24 hours during the apocalypse, goddammit.
Yeah, as all the normal employees stop showing up, management will probably stay there for a little bit until they stop showing up. And then it depends on the collapse. Maybe the police will still work there. So do not plan on going to Walmart. In the very few circumstances that we mentioned where it would work, i.e. magical people disappearing. If you're stuck on the earth after rapture or something, then...
Yeah.
Because you'll be stuck with all the Negans, so you're still fucked.
Yeah, I mean, something that has wiped out like over 95% of the population, you might be able to claim a Walmart.
Yeah.
But even then, it's going to be like a fucking... chancy proposition.
It's going to be a sausage fest, like when a girl changes her status to single on Facebook and her inbox blows up with dicks. Oh. It's going to be that.
It's funny that we keep saying Negan.
Yeah.
No, look at my shirt.
I know. That's,
yeah,
I know.
I'm wearing my Loot Crate shirt, the Negan Sluggers.
Hold on. Funny off topic. So before I canceled my Loot Crate, I got that Negan shirt, and I don't watch The Walking Dead, so I was like, I'm going to get rid of this. Serenity eventually took it. But before that, I offered it to Kevin Smith.
You offered it to Kevin Smith?
I was on Twitter or something, and I saw him talking about, like, The Walking Dead, and I'm like, hey, you want my Negan shirt? You can have it.
You know, he probably has his own. Cause
I'm sure he does.
No, well, one of – I don't know. Yeah, a couple of his shows shill for Loot Crate, so they probably get free ones.
I'm sure they do, yeah. If you have a survival box you want me to do, you should send one to me because I'll talk about it.
Yes, we will do a very thorough and professional review on any survival box.
We will do. Legalities. So
they're gone now.
Yeah, they're gone. So a lot of the things that we talk about, you know, like you can get away with it then. So if it is a true shit hit the fan, and you need something, and you are not... So I don't suggest, even in the shit of the fan, do not go around breaking the non-aggression principle, especially sort of the modified non-aggression 2.0 principle. Whereas, do not aggress upon anyone, but do not take aggression upon you.
No.
I.e., do not... And this goes back to the be a dick. Don't break into people's houses and try to take their food from them. If the house is abandoned, by all means. If a store is abandoned, by all means. In a shit hit the fan. In a shit hit the fan. Not a looting scenario. I'm not encouraging looting here. I mean, the shit has hit the fan.
The government is under complete fucking collapse.
Yes, yes. Not like Katrina style New Orleans. Like, yeah, there's a flood. People left the city. I'm gonna go rob them. No, that's not a shit hit the fan. That's you're too dumb to leave the city. Yeah. So. I'm not advocating breaking laws, but if there are no laws to be broken, i.e. without rule of law, a collapse scenario, you know, just take what you need. Not from people.
Now, it's like my parents always told me, don't start shit, but be willing to finish it.
Yeah. What was that? Speak softly and carry a big stick?
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah. He was kind of a dick.
That was his campaign slogan.
Yeah. That's damn near what Trump ran
I walk
on.
Softly, but I carry a big stick.
Yeah. So legality is done. So by that, like me and Mike have often talked about and planned that if the shit hits the fan, and we may or may not be the first ones, but there's so many that probably won't matter, we're going to drive along the interstate and seal the solar panels.
Fuck yes! I've already started taking note of where all those damn things
yeah.
are.
Mike has a Google Map location of them all. you know, and so stores and stuff like that, like... if you're stealing from a government that no longer exists, are you stealing? I mean, are you?
No.
No. So, I don't have a problem with that. Know your target. So, in a shit hit the fan scenario, don't be willy-nilly going around just trying to collect shit just to collect it. One, it can be very dangerous, especially depending on the situation of the collapse. Basically, going out there and being a target yourself is not wise. You need to go out with a specific goal in mind to get, have a plan of where to go to get that thing, and sort of get in there and get out. This is not a fun shopping trip with your significant other. This is a mission, and you need to treat it like one. You need to have it planned. You need to really have it planned well. You need to know what you're going for, know where, and then get in, get out, and get it quick. You don't want to dick around. Definitely don't... If your plan is to, like, head to the porn store and, like, look at titty mags, you're wasting your time. I mean, you know, we talked how that could be a barter thing in a past episode. But, yeah, that's...
Get those after you have your food and ammo.
Yeah, or, like, go to a store that has that. Get your food and ammo and then grab titty mags on the way out. Yeah. So yeah, just be prepared, be planned, and then know what your target for. So, because I really want you guys to be safe. Like... Yeah, I don't ever want the shit at the fan, but if the shit at the fan does happen, I want you to be prepared for it and be safe. And minimizing your risk is a part of that. And any scavenging excursion in a hostile environment could be bad. And I know a lot of the sort of prepper books we read, you know, Day by Day Armageddon, they glorify these excursions, but they're fiction. And... you are not a fictitious character, and if you die, you stay dead. And so, yeah, don't just take these, you know. So in modern society now, we kind of have this hole in our soul as Americans that we fill with
stuff
with, you know, consumerism. We buy stuff because, you know, life sucks. For a lot of people, you know, it's work, it's home, you're miserable, you hate your job, you hate your boss.
So you buy stuff that makes you smile for a moment.
Yeah. I mean, just like in Fight Club, like you're looking for fulfillment in buying stuff, and that's not going
to
help you in the shit.
Working
the
jobs, we don't want to buy shit we don't need.
Yeah. Do not make scavenger trips for shit you do not need. It needs to be purpose-built missions, and I really wanted to sort of drive that in. I don't want people going away thinking maybe James is just dicking around. That maybe I'm just going to go out and like look for the last Twinkie or something like for 4 days. Mm-hmm. No, don't do it.
Now I'm telling you this, like, okay, in the shit hits the fan situation, when I go out, I'm going to be looking for the stuff I need. You know, I'm going to be looking for the food. I'm going to be looking for the weapons. I'm going to be looking for useful stuff. Now, if I happen to see the Rubik's Cube that I always wanted for my collection, while I'm out doing that, I will grab it. But I'm not going to go out specifically looking for Rubik's Cubes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine to grab, like, a little a 5-minute smile while you're out there getting other stuff, if it's convenient, but don't go out of your fucking way and don't risk your neck for it.
Yeah, like, in the last Day by the Armageddon book I read, the main character kind of was fighting some painkiller medications. Like, he got injured and started taking pain meds. And in the past, he had talked about how he had actually gotten hooked on pain meds before when he was in the military, which, you know, is a pretty realistic thing. And it took a lot of work to get him off of those. And for a bit of the book there, he actually like got addicted to pain meds, and he broke into a pharmacy and was like trying to bash open a pharmacy safe to get at pain meds, making a lot of noise, drawing a lot of zombies. For something, did he really, really need it? Or did he just need it?
Yeah.
So
he psychologically needed it.
Yeah. And that was an interesting plot point. So I don't believe that we're going to have zombies, but if you're needlessly like breaking open diamond cases, making a lot of noise because you think they're fucking shiny, you may be drawing the wrong attention. Because it doesn't have to be zombies to be scum.
Now, we're not saying diamonds aren't useful. Diamonds can be practically useful. I mean, there's nothing harder than, and they can cut pretty much anything. I mean, hell, the only thing that can cut a diamond is another diamond. But if you're getting it just to have bling in the fucking post-apocalyptic Mad Max world that we're now living in, you're stupid.
Yeah. And I think that wraps up our main topic. I think we've covered it. Also, just to reiterate real quick, so we talked about knowing where you're going to go now. In the Shit of the Fan, you definitely want to plan things out. Yes, we're over an hour now. Awesome. Plan things out. Don't be like this one guy I read about in a forum whose plan for the Shit Hits the Fan was to break into a National Guard army base, become their commander, and drive a tank around. That's not scavenging, my friends. That's getting shot and killed.
Yeah.
What do we have up next? Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. We've found scavenging. Let's see. Are we going to review the Olight H1 Nova?
Yes. So Olight is pretty much the manufacturer. They make some of my favorite lights. Years ago, I got the Olight S10 Baton, which was a tiny single CR123 battery flashlight that had like 200 lumens and something. Because, you know, back in the day, like, 200 lumens was like, you know, a collapsed sun basically on your pocket. Now 200 lumens is like, oh, you only got 200 lumens? Yeah, a little bit smaller, buddy, yeah. So the Olight H1 Nova from Olight, sent to me by Olight, is not that one. I have two Olights they sent me. I have two Olights. I did a video review on them. It's a headlamp that's detachable that also can become a pocket light, you know, with a pocket clip. It's really nice design. It's 500 lumens. 500 lumens at its max. 500. Takes a single CR12 battery. It's pretty small. It has a couple different modes. It has a strobe, but the strobe isn't actually very strobey. It's sort of a beacony mode. I'm still playing with it and trying to learn it.
You know, a beacon mode I prefer to a strobey mode because, I mean, some people, my loved ones, can be, like, very ill affected by a really quick strobe light.
Right.
I mean, it can set off fucking epileptic seizures in some people.
Right. So I would prefer to have both modes, to be honest.
What's the point of strobe?
It's basically to find your way back. Like, you can set it as a strobe light so that you can, like, so a solid beam of light, which would take more power and be longer, you may not see. But a, like, pulsing jet of light that would last longer because it's only a pulse, it's better to see. And it sends out that signal, like, you know, like, oh, that's, I probably need for, you know, distress or to find your own way back. Like, I carry multiple flashlights when I go camping and whatnot. And, like, you can set your headlamp on a tree in the direction you're going, set it on strobe, walk off, and then on your way back, you're like, oh, hey, there's my base camp.
Yeah, and as far as things that light up go, and things that make fire, I have a rule about that. Carry as many light sources and fire sources as pirates carry would carry guns.
Right. It does have the magnetic tail cap that O likes to use, which I like for... You can attach it to magnetic things. Like, you can use it basically as a drop light under the hood of your car. You can attach it to anything metal and have it sit there and work. It is waterproof via IP86 protocol, I believe. Let me...
Excuse him. We got distracted by Jordan.
IPX8 protocol. And I keep meaning to take a shower with it on just to prove it. But, yeah. It's either waterproof, water-resistant. It will not go out in the rain. I like that. It has... It comes with a lot of stuff, like replacement O-rings and whatnot. The kitty is in my lap. I like it. I think it will be a great sort of Christmas gift. One of the better, like, it's small, light, and with 500 lumens, like, why would you not ever have as many lumens as you can have?
I want a collapsed sun in mine.
Pretty much, yeah. So, I'll have a link to Amazon in the show notes, so you can click on it. You can just go look the Olight H1 Nova. Great gift. And I believe if you wait till a bit later in the week, I got emailed by Olight. They're going to have a Black Friday sale. So by all means, if you can save money, always save money.
Absolutely. Now it is time for Mike's couch potato turkey recipe. Thanksgiving is coming up. When you hear this, the next day you will be cooking your bird. So let me just give you a few tips right off the hand. Depending on the size of your bird, you may have to thaw that thing for up to 3 or 4 days. So you should, by the time you hear this, you should already be well under the way of thawing the bird. Now, basically, I'm not going to tell you how long to cook your damn bird. There's plenty of shit, pretty steady rules on how to do that. I'm telling you how to prep the most delicious, moist, 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 succulent turkey you'll ever eat. If I liked turkey, I would love my turkey. Everybody else who does like turkey loves my turkey. Now, we had discussed this on the show. My Frankenbird, my store-bought turkey, beat out, as far as taste and moistness, a very expensive, like artisan turkey that my co-host had bought one time. I'm pretty sure you had bought somebody's pet turkey.
Free-range turkey, high quality, super expensive and heavy and...
Very dry.
And very brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, but no, but this... Okay, here is my tips, okay? Now, you're going to need several things. You're going to need butter. Hopefully you're one of these people that saves bacon fat in a jar, like I do. Because I save bacon fat. Anytime I cook bacon, I pour the bacon grease into a mason jar and put it in my fridge. Now, you're going to need a lot... You're going to need some butter. You're going to need bacon fat. You're going to need an orange, a lemon, a lime, and an onion. You're going to need some cheesecloth. And you're going to need... Now, a lot of people use like a meat injector, which is basically a large syringe. I basically just use a large syringe. You can get them from any pharmacy for like a dollar or as little as 50 cents. Just get a large bore syringe. And here's the reason I recommend this over that. I'll get to that in a minute, though. You're also going to need some orange juice. And if you like pineapple juice, I don't use pineapple juice. So let's just stick with the orange juice. We're going to go with my recipe here. First thing you want to do is get your lemon, your lime, and your orange. And your onion. Cut each of these into quarters and start jamming them straight up the turkey's ass, okay? I mean, shove them all in that fucking cavity. You're going to fill it. Depending on the size of your bird, it might not want to all fit. Get it all in there. You're going to cut these into quarters, shove them up there, peel and all, except for the onion. Get the peel off that. Now, you are going... Okay, next thing you want to do is take the syringe and start loading that full of fucking orange juice. And take your favorite orange juice. You don't want to use some cheap orange juice that you don't even like to drink. You're going to want to use, like I personally use, and yes, I am dropping name brands here, Tropicana Pure Premium plus calcium. That's just my favorite fucking orange juice. But any Tropicana Pure Premium, I will like. And the reason I say use a large bore syringe instead of a big meat injector is because you don't get to inject as much juice at a time, and it makes a much smaller hole in the bird. That way you can spread it out. You want to inject that thing in as many fucking places as possible. You want to spread it out. Get it in several spots in the legs, in the wings, all over the fucking breast. Everywhere you can fucking think of. I mean, make a fucking 200 holes in this damn bird. Now, you've done all that. Next, you're going to want to take some pads of butter and a lot of bacon fat, and you're going to start peeling up the turkey skin. You're going to get your hands in there. It's, you know, not exactly nice feeling, but whatever. You pull up the turkey skin and start kind of separating it from the breast meat. And then you're going to start shoving butter and bacon fat in up under that skin. Okay? Get as much in there as you can without it being ridiculous and clown-like. Now, you're going to want to take some more butter, put it in a bowl in the microwave, and melt it. You want a bowl of liquid butter. Now, take your cheesecloth that I told you to get and drench that son of a bitch in the butter, okay? Just soak it in the butter. And now, you are going to bandage up your turkey. You're going to wrap that son of a bitch up in this cheesecloth that is soaked in butter. Now, put it in your roaster pan, cover it with aluminum foil, make a nice tent over it where it's got plenty of condensation room. And voila, pop it in the oven. And remember to baste every now and then. Now, there's a couple of different things you could do about basting. You can take the baste water and just cover it over the fucking bird with, you know, a baster. Some people I've actually seen inject it back into the turkey. I have done both. And when your turkey comes out of that fucking oven and you let it sit for a little bit and you start cutting into that breast meat, you will not find anything dry because you have now attacked it with moist makers from the outside, from the inside, and from the internal side. I mean, you've got all those juices from the onions and your citrus coming from the middle of the turkey. You've got all that stuff you've injected straight into the turkey, and you've got all that butter and bacon fat that is now absorbing and dripping down over that turkey. There is no way, if you follow my instructions, you're not going to end up with an insanely tasty and insanely juicy turkey. And you can ask anybody that's ever eaten my fucking bird. So that is the couch potato turkey. It's funny. I call it the couch potato turkey, but it is no way a couch potatoes recipe.
I did notice that you forgot to stuff it with an octopus. So that's James's tip. You want to stuff it with an octopus.
Well, yeah, but you want to make sure the tentacles are hanging out. That way it looks like Cthulhu.
Oh, what the fucking?
Yeah, what the fucking? I love
that, yeah.
I love that.
That actually is the best turkey I've ever had. That's a traditional turkey. I do like fried turkey a lot.
When you came from your mom's house that one Thanksgiving where your stepdad had dried out your bird.
Yeah.
And you sat at that table and we passed you over a plate of the breast meat. And before it even got to you, you're already shaking your head and you're like, oh, it's so moist.
Yeah.
People, you know what? You know what? When any time I tell anybody this fucking recipe, the thing people always scoff at and give me the weird look is bacon fat.
No, that's genius.
Mixing bacon fat with fucking on a fucking turkey. Yes, it's just perfect. I don't know why I'm literally the only person I know that's actually thought of this. Yeah. I've never even seen it on the Cooking Channel or the Food Network.
I'm going to include the show note for it, but I'm going to make you watch after we do this. That the British guy that make you watch, Colin Furze, sometimes. He built a turkey cooking machine one time because he hates turkey too.
Uh-huh.
He's always like, it's always so dry and always blah, 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 blah. He built this like, basically it's kind of like a roaster, but it was it was heated water broth in the bottom that was like pumped up through this tube that was inserted inside of a turkey and then spun centrifugally so that the water was forced from the inside to the outside. And it was hot water, by the way. So it cooked it while moving through. But
that's
it was not
insane.
Just water, but it was broth. And as it dripped down broth, they added to the broth that was being pumped inside of the turkey and spun around. And he went on the Jamie Oliver show in Britain. And after he used a flamethrower to crisp the skin up on the outside.
Yeah, I figured fire was going to be involved.
Yeah, Jamie Oliver was actually like, it is the moistest turkey he's ever had. Like, literally... They cut strips off this turkey, and it was dripping.
See, and...
Not with water, not with, like, gross water, but with, like, delicious turkey broth.
See, and that's the way my turkey almost is. I mean, it's almost dripping, but it's moist all the way through.
Yeah, it is delicious. I will always take it, and I'm only mildly sad that you will not be making a turkey this year.
I don't like turkey. I don't even like my turkey. I mean, if I liked turkey, I would love my turkey. I really would. It's that good that it almost makes me like turkey.
Yeah.
But honestly, I'm really seriously thinking about trying my turkey recipe on like a couple of large chickens.
Yeah.
I do like chicken.
They're almost so small that I don't know if it'll be like a payoff wise. Like even the biggest turkey, I mean the biggest chicken is way smaller than a small turkey. So to put in that amount of effort and cook times would vary because you're dealing with less mass.
Oh yeah, I mean it'd be a lot smaller of a cook time.
But what do we have left? Is that? I mean, we're well, like a I mean, minute there's 14
my all,
now.
There's my all geared up, but it's been on the board for a month now.
Oh yeah.
So, well, on that bombshell, I think it's time to end. So for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
Before we leave,
you son of a bitch!
Before we leave,
you stepped on my nuts.
I just want to remind everybody that if you like the show you're listening to and you don't hate it so much that you want to create a Down with Survival Punk version 2.0 page, that you can help support the show by joining the Survival Punk Army. There are my ebooks in there for free. There are a few other ebooks. There are podcast episodes available to download in zip files. So you can download the zip files instead of like going through the podcast directory and like right clicking and saving. Or I believe on a lot of the, like on iTunes and whatnot, it limits you to 40 and we're at 126 or 27 or so. So it's just a bit quicker to grab those old episodes that way.
Mm-hmm.
What else? There are a couple of discounts. There's going to be a monthly membership chat video. We will have the first one. Well, we just did a chat video, so maybe.
That was atrocious.
Yeah, it was fun, but the membership one will be more fun. And the gear distribution thing, so I kind of hate calling it gear distribution, but I get sent stuff for review, and a lot of these times it's like I don't really need 4 sleeping mats for camping, you know, or a lot of these things that I have multiples of. Like the Watch Your Back book, I had 2 copies of those sent to me on accident, so. If you are a Survival Punk Army member, which you can get for as cheap as $5 a month, you will qualify for the gear redistribution program where every month I'll be like, oh, I have 2 of these books. Bam. Pick a random member and send it to you. So membership pays. There are a few other things and it is awesome. And there will be a Black Friday sale. I'm thinking.
You corporate drone.
Yeah, whatever. The Black Friday sale, I've not set the discount code yet, but I will quote myself right now as saying Black Friday 2016, all lowercase, one word, no spaces, Black Friday 2016. So normally a year membership is $50. Let us do $30. $30 for the 1 year membership. No discounts on 6 months or 3 months or month. $5 a month. Come on now. It helps support the show. At this point, all the money coming into the show is paying for hosting, email services. CouchTotalMike.com just came up for renewal, and the money that you guys send me paid for that renewal. So that's why I didn't go to Mike and be like, hey, your domain's $15. Hand it up, little man. Put that money in my hand. If you don't, then you owe me. It pays for that. And that site's not monetized at all, although I thought about throwing some Google ads on it just because. I actually got an email, WordPress stat. It was like, stats on your Couch Potato Mike website are booming. Now it looked like, you have 35 visitors. I'm like, wow.
35 people, really?
Yeah.
I'm amazed.
Yeah, so it just helps, you know, and then we can get advertisers and, or not advertisers, we can run ads to help bring more people into the Survival Punk Army. That's my commercial or whatever. I need to mention it sometimes because we keep forgetting it, you know, and it does help support the show. And it does mean a lot to me. And if enough of you enough of you start actually, if enough of you love the show enough to support the show, then eventually one day me and Mike can do this full time and do even better shows and possibly even move to a 5-day a week schedule. You know, dreams or whatever. You know, but join the Survival Punk Army. It needs you.
It does. The Survival Punk Army wants you!
Yeah, I've missed that scream. And with that, Mike, you may now wrap the show up.
Oh, you're actually going to let me wrap the show up the way I want to wrap the show up?
Yes.
Well, on that bombshell, I guess it now is time to end, unless you want to step on my nuts again. So for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sick One Burnett.
Join the Survival Punk Army and pay to hate us.
DIY to make James and Mike commit ritual suicide, use guys.
Because there's no safe place with us around.
Use guys!